Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
First and Pod, hosted by Danny Parkin and Andrew Filippone.
First and Pod, thanks for being with us. Danny Parkins, Andrew Filippone, every team, every week, every game, coming to you live after Texans and Eagles, 29-17 Texans. It was probably a little closer for comfort, Pony, than Philly wanted for a little longer than they expected. But it felt to me like always at arm's length, never really at risk of losing, not really going to overreact in any way for the Eagles. Like classic letdown spot. They sleepwalked a little bit, but they're totally fine. That's how I felt.
Well, I think the biggest story about this game is the rarity of both of their teams in baseball playing a World Series game at the same time. And I don't know if you knew this, but our sister station, WIP in Philadelphia, aired the football game over the Phillies game. The Phillies game got bumped to another station. And I don't know if that's a contractual thing, but they had put on their website for days a programming note that they were going to take the football game over the baseball game. And I'm really into shit like this. I'm going to be fascinated by that rating tomorrow in Philadelphia for both games, because my hypothesis was if it was a closeout game for the Phillies, I think the Phillies would have done a better rating. But because it was 2-2 and because it looked a little sketchy there for the Eagles at first, I bet the Eagles game will do a better rating.
So I just default to football is king, but this has to be like the ultimate litmus test. I mean, Philly's a great sports town. It's been insane, the environment at these Phillies games, but you also have 40,000 people at the game that are obviously hardcore baseball fans that are otherwise not watching on TV. It could be that close of a number where that could impact it. It would be a sad commentary for baseball if Eagles Texans loses in a huge sports market like that to game five of the World Series. But
it's a unique situation for the Eagles because they're a team of destiny right now. They're undefeated.
Right.
It's a dream season.
Right.
And the baseball season wouldn't end either way for them tonight. It was just to recapture control of the series.
Yeah, but it's still a World Series game over a Thursday night game against the Texans. I mean, the Phillies game is undeniably a bigger game. If Thursday night football against the Texans beat it, that's a football reigns supreme thing. That's not a, I mean, we know Philadelphia's a great sports town. We know they love the Phillies. It's just that every casual fan in the world cares about the NFL, and baseball doesn't have a ton of casual fans. Like that is a fascinating thing. I'm a little surprised to hear that about IP, just because if there's one place where baseball media carries the day, it's on the radio, right? I mean, baseball on the radio still matters. Baseball on the radio is a much more valuable radio property than football on the radio, just because 162 games of inventory, companion sport, summer, mowing your grass, pool, lake, trips, car rides, like baseball always being there. Football's not really a great radio property for these stations to have traditionally.
But Philly has always labeled itself as a football first town. They have been into that more than New York, more than Boston. Things are a little bit different where you are because there's two teams, but obviously the Cubs are way more popular than the White Sox are.
Yeah, Chicago's a Bears town. Chicago's more like Philly in that way. The unifying thing here is the Bears for sure.
But I think that, let's say it was a place, Houston, it'll be Astros because the Texans are so bad. But if it were Dallas, if the Rangers were playing game 5 of the World Series and it was 2-2, it would be the Cowboys.
It'd be the Cowboys.
And I think we're going to see tomorrow that Philadelphia is a lot like Dallas in those towns, and the Eagles would have done a better rating.
I'm trying to think about what would Pittsburgh be? Steelers?
It would be if the Pirates weren't such a dead organization.
But if they were in the World Series, they wouldn't be.
Well, no, that's what I'm going to say. That because so many people have never seen it before, you're going 40 plus years. The spectacle of the Pirates being in the World Series would beat the Steelers.
And in Kansas City where I worked, it's such a great sports town. They do huge numbers for everything. They do huge numbers for college basketball. They do huge numbers for the World Cup. They do huge numbers for
everything. There's no water there. That's why.
Royals ratings set records, the whole thing. That would be a real fascinating litmus test. I think I would say Royals, not because it's a bigger Royals town than Chiefs town, but because it would just be significance of the game.
Yeah.
I think that's what it would be, but that would be damn close in Kansas City. That's a good one. Anything at all to Dameon Pierce having so much success against the Eagles? I saw Mina Kimes share a stat that the Eagles are worst in the league in yards per carry after contact. They might be susceptible to the power running game, which obviously could come into play for a Cowboys matchup with them or a Niners matchup for them. Is that the nerds found a stat to make Philly seem vulnerable, or is that a real thing for you?
Not really yet for me, because I look at their defensive line and I think that, those guys are still great players. So, yards after contact, I guess somehow you got to get beyond that line and into their linebackers and second level.
Yeah.
Which when I think of their secondary, I think more of guys that, go after the football than I do hard hitting guys. There's not a real thumper back there, but I think it bears watching. Like, I don't think it's a true Achilles heel yet, but now that it's out there, the next time they play, say, the Giants and Saquon Barkley or, a situation like that, it'll be on my mind, definitely.
Yeah, and they've just played with so many leads.
Yep.
It hasn't really been tested. So it was
Jacksonville's really the only game where they fell behind big.
Right. So it was that was something that I thought exact same thing. File that away, and if teams play close games the whole way, maybe as they wear down even more and become more susceptible to the run over the course of the game, could be a thing. But let's get to the slate this week. It's a short one with six teams on a bye. Post-trade deadline, we'll start Jets and Bills, the preseason favorite, the team that's probably had the highest highs this year. Do you consider the Bills still the team to beat post-trade deadline?
Yeah, I do. I don't think Hines is like a huge addition, but I think he fits their offense. They want a running back who catches it out of the backfield. That's why they drafted Cook from Georgia. He hasn't worked out. I think if you're talking about, small issues for a team, I'm not sure that the Bills in a fourth quarter situation in a 4-minute offense, if they just strictly wanted to run the ball, I don't think they could do it unless they made Josh Allen the guy that was carrying the ball. So, that's the only thing with them that's a little bit concerning. But I don't think, and we'll go through some of these other teams, I don't think a team that was close to them like Kansas City or Philadelphia made a move that was big enough to get them on equal footing with Buffalo. So, yes, they are still the favorite for me.
Yeah, I think they're still the favorite too. I mean, obviously, I'm rooting for Chiefs-Bills in the AFC title game to see it when it all matters and to see the game again. But yeah, I mean, the Chiefs, you know, they added Kadarius Toney, and we'll get to them. But, you know, Miami adding Chubb is fascinating, and I can't wait to talk about that with you when we do Bears-Dolphins. But I still need to see it over a larger body of work for them. So, yeah, I think the Bills are comfortably there. I love that we put this game first. So the Jets are 11th in points against this year. Obviously lost last week to the Patriots, gave up 22. Week before that, 9 to Denver. Week before that, 10 to Green Bay. Week before that, 17 to the Dolphins. Week before that, 20 to the Steelers. They've won 4 of their last 5. Defense is playing very well. What would a number be, a points number, that the Bills could score, win or lose, where you would be impressed with the Jets' defense?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I would say if they held them under 24 points,
okay, that would probably be my number. Yeah, like because I just think that that's a they have a lot of really talented players on their defense, and they've been playing well consistently, albeit against some bad teams, but also like holding Miami to 17 points is looking good. I know Miami had the quarterback issue in that game, but I am interested.
They lost that game to the Patriots because of a legitimate roughing the passer penalty. That hit, yep, on Jones that took that interception off the board, which was a real hit. It was high and it was late. That shift, that completely changed the entire dynamic of that game. And it did not affect the throw. So if that play doesn't happen, they probably win. And this is like by far the marquee game of the week.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see if their defense makes anything difficult for Buffalo. Another game where we should talk about the move that were made or not. Rams-Bucks. Both teams did nothing. Were you surprised which team needed to do more or something?
Well, Tampa needed to do it because Brady's 45. And there's no guarantee that he's going to be playing football next year. In fact, you see media reports now that agree with me that there's a push to get him in the Super Bowl broadcast booth. So I was ahead of that story.
Good job by you.
Thank you. With LA, I mean, it goes against their behavior, their recent pattern of behavior, but it's like, okay, I guess they can try to run it back next year after kind of the malaise of winning a Super Bowl wears off. I don't see, like, where does Tampa Bay go from here next year once they dump Brady? I think they plummet to one of the worst teams in the NFL. So I'm stunned that they didn't just try to do a win now thing when the division, they're going to probably have a home playoff game. Why wouldn't you just try to be a team that, like Tennessee a few years ago, wins like 9 or 10 games? Since he won 10 games last year, they went 10-7 and made it to the Super Bowl, Danny. Load up.
They have a stretch here where they have to think they're still winning the division fairly comfortably. Rams, Seattle, Cleveland, New Orleans, San Francisco, Cincy, Arizona, Carolina, Atlanta, the rest of the way.
I had an odds maker tell me he thinks they're an underdog in two more games, and that's it. Cleveland and San Francisco.
That makes sense. But I'm not they definitely are losing more than two more games.
Like, are both of these teams just assuming that they're going to get Odell Beckham Jr., the Rams and Bucks? Is that why they didn't do anything? And who knows what kind of shape he's going to be in by the time he reports and plays?
Yeah, and I mean, obviously that makes more sense for the Rams than the Bucks to, like, believe it, given that it's happened before. I completely agree. You know, the Bucks. I mean, both teams have won a Super Bowl recently, obviously, right? They're the last couple winners. But the Rams winning last year with a longer runway, even if Aaron Donald did retire, they still feel like they could be a contender next year. And I think we've been talking about it for 2 or 3 weeks with the Rams. They needed pass protection and run blocking. They needed an offensive lineman. Those guys do not get traded. It just doesn't happen. Bad teams don't even trade them. So I bet you that they tried and had no takers. Tampa, no idea what they're doing. I wouldn't really want to – I mean, whoever loses this game is in a tough spot, though.
Well, Rams much more so.
Yeah, because of the division. I know. Yeah. But, I mean, damn, man, if the Bucks lose, they'll have lost four straight
four in a row and
6 of 7.
Yep.
But still be the favorites to win the division?
Probably.
Yeah, that is going to be ugly if Tampa loses this game. I mentioned it in passing earlier, Titans Chiefs. What kind of impact are you expecting from Kadarius Toney?
Well, I'd like to hear your answer to that first, because you're the Chiefs guy. You know, he's kind of fits that mold of just speedster that Andy Reid wants and covets so much. They're trying to piecemeal together their replacement plan for Tyreek Hill. So what do you think?
I think that it's the exact type of move that they do. And like we've seen with Juju Smith-Schuster, who we talked about last week or the week before, and Marquez Valdez-Scantling, like, both of those guys were looked at as flawed players. Valdez-Scantling obviously in a better situation than Juju, but they immediately get to Kansas City and are starting to produce. Juju more than Valdez-Scantling, but he's had a couple of nice games. So, I mean, Kadarius Toney is a first-round pick who a team cut bait with in, what, less than two full seasons? But he runs a 4.3. So if there's any spot in the NFL where he should look good, it's this one. Big arms quarterback, genius, offensive play designer, a spot where he can make an impact on special teams, too. And feel like he can make an impact. And other guys have shown up and immediately looked better there than they looked at any point in their previous spot. I know Juju had nice moments with the Steelers, but you understand my point, anytime in recent history. So I don't think it's this week. You know, I would think it'd be really tough for a wide receiver to pick up a new playbook. And I think it'll take a few weeks for him. I don't think it's as easy as a pass rusher or a running back, but Kadarius Toney will make an impact in a big game for the Chiefs this regular season. And my guess is he'll be in the rotation by the postseason, because it's the perfect spot for receivers to go to. It's perfect.
Well, if I were Buffalo, I would be flattered. If I were the Bills, I would feel like this was really not this was an unnecessary move that only gets made because the Chiefs know that there's another team that is capable of scoring 50 points in a game. And they might have to play them in Buffalo. Like, between Sky Moore and Mecole Hardman and these guys there, they didn't really need Kadarius Toney. There wasn't like an obvious void, though. I know I mentioned Tyreek Hill, but it's not like they've missed him. They went to San Francisco against the top defense and scored 41 points.
Yeah, the top scoring offense in the league.
I respect the move, because I think it's an honest self-evaluation. It's like, we're not giving up that much for a player with a high ceiling. And there's another team in our division, or our conference, I should say, that might have either a quarterback that's our equal or an offense as a whole that's equal or superior to ours. That's why I like it.
I was surprised, though, that if they were only going to do a small thing, that it wasn't a Robert Quinn type trade. Just
yeah,
based
well, we
on
both big... said we liked that better.
Both of them.
We like more of a balanced team than just trying to load up on one side of the ball.
Yeah, and just they've made moves like that in the past, and it's paid dividends. And I'm sure they tried, but it surprised me given the asking price that they didn't go in that direction.